You fill our hearts with joy and gladness so that we can receive it as such. And this is our prayer of faith in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and even our Savior.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Good morning and praise. Must be afternoon, morning. Okay, still morning, I'm sorry. Good morning and praise the Lord. Please wave your heart to me. Praise the Lord. This is a happy day. My name is Kaluki Apollo, and I love the Lord for saving me. And before I share the word this morning, I want to make a quick announcement. Next Sunday is Lay Selection Sunday, and in the youth services, that is 8:30 a.m. service and 11 a.m. service, we are going to have a story of resurrection, because we celebrate newness of life through the resurrection of Christ. So we have a young man, a son of a prominent politician who was addicted to alcohol and drugs, and we'll be listening to his story on Sunday. So if you have a friend or a relative, a family member who could be having that problem, please invite them on Sunday. It could be a life-changing moment for them. And we want to do that gradually, knowing that the church is the right place for all wrong people. So if you feel sinful, wrong, lost, the church becomes your rightful place. Now today is Palm Sunday. There are many things we can say about the triumphant entry, but for the sake of the message, this morning, we will look at two dimensions from this great entry. First, we will look at an Easter theme, and secondly, we'll take the dimension of our focus, the sub-quarter, uprooting the weeds, and we will focus on a weed that is so prominent in this story. Number one, the Easter message of the triumphant entry. Now, brothers and sisters, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem marks the final Sunday of Lent and the beginning of the Passion Week. Here we see a jubilant crowd spreading their cloaks on the roads while others waved palm branches. The shout of the crowd was clear: Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Now, the word Hosanna simply means save us now. Save us now. Now, the very unfortunate thing, brothers and sisters, is that the expectation of salvation that these people had was totally different from the mission of Jesus. No wonder we see the Lord riding on a donkey instead of chariots of horses. The donkey signified calmness and peace, as opposed to galloping horses, which signify power and might in battle. They expected a Messiah who will save them from the military oppression of the Romans. They expected Jesus to lead them to overthrow the dreaded Romans. They were looking for a leader who would save them politically and lead a revolution to throw away the Romans. Now, when they realized that Jesus had a different agenda than a political one, they cried, "Crucify him, crucify him," a few days after. What they did not know, friends, is that not only the Romans, but them too, were the mission of Christ. What they did not know is that Jesus was supposed to free them from the greatest oppression of them all, the oppression of sin. And this is the greatest message of Easter, brothers and sisters, that the problem of sin, which is the biggest problem of mankind, has now been eternally solved. Praise the Lord. The close event is the ultimate answer to the problem of sin and mankind, and there is no other way. And this message is still very true today. The answer to your bondage of sin, The answer to your peacelessness, the answer to your iniquity, the answer to your lostness is the cross of Jesus Christ. Going back to the triumphant entry, we see Jesus sending some of his disciples to the next village to bring him a donkey. He tells them, if anyone says anything to you, tell them the Lord needs it. As we think about the Palm Sunday today, the same ones Jesus used to send for the donkey are meant for each one of us. The Lord is in need of you. The Lord is in need of you. Again, this is the message of Easter. The Lord loves you so much that he died on that old rugged cross for you, and he is in need of you. He loves you and he is in need of you. This is the holy essence of salvation. The Lord is in need of you. And when we respond to this call, then we can say we are saved. It is very interesting, brothers and sisters, to note that Jesus was born on a borrowed manger. He was taught from a borrowed boat. He celebrated the Last Supper in a borrowed upper room. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. And in this story, we see Jesus riding on a borrowed donkey, which gives us a very important lesson. The first coming of the Lord Jesus was absolutely lowly, but his second coming will be absolutely lofty. This borrowing trend, the borrowed manger, the borrowed boat, the borrowed upper room, the borrowed donkey, the borrowed tomb, and also the subsequent suffering of Christ characterize the first coming of the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, this should tell us something about his coming, his second coming. His second coming will be different. It will not be lowly. He will not come on a borrowed donkey. He will come with all the power of heaven. He will not come to borrow, he will come to judge. He will come not to suffer, but he will come to pick up those that are his. He will come with all the power and the glory of the Father. And as Revelation chapter 1 says, look, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even the eyes of them that put him on that cross. Brothers and sisters, this season is a loud reminder to us that we must be prepared for the second coming of our Lord Jesus. What John the Liberator says and calls the day of the Lord, which will surely come and it will not fail. Are you ready for the second coming of our Lord? The Lord is in need of you. Will you come to the Lord? Number two, we are going, brothers and sisters, to focus on our theme this quarter, which is taming the weeds, as the banner there indicates. Now, from this story of the triumphant entry, we pick up a very prominent weed, the weed of jealousy. When we read the passage of the triumphant entry, we think that Jesus was received in Jerusalem with a pure celebration. But the truth is, brothers and sisters, the great entry was not purely a praise event. On the one hand, there were loud cheers from the crowd, and on the other hand, there were silent jeers of the Pharisees. They were expressive lovers of Jesus in the streets of Jerusalem that day, but they were also haters in the same streets. In the passage that was led to us, we see the Pharisees full of jealousy telling Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke, silence your disciples." But Jesus quickly responds to them, "If they keep quiet, stones will take over." These brothers and sisters is an ideal example of how jealousy works. We want to silence those whose song is louder than ours. Another great example in the scripture in this regard is the story of David and Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 18. After David killed Goliath, we see the women choir coming out in the streets of Israel singing and dancing with joyful songs and with tambourines. And as they did this, they had a chorus that made Saul fall angry and furious. Saul has slain thousands, and David his tens of thousands. Now this refrain made Saul to think deep, and the Bible says he told himself, they have credited David with tens of thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that day, the Bible says Saul kept a jealous eye on David. And actually we see him making some attempts against his life. Brothers and sisters, jealousy is inspired by absence of love. Jealousy has an external target, and its venom is always directed to another person, a business competitor, a neighbor, a colleague, and an enemy, and many other examples we can give there. And for the purpose of this message, brothers and sisters, let us look at two main characteristics of jealousy. Number one, jealousy lies in selfishness. Brothers and sisters, jealousy thrives in selfishness. This is when we are driven by the fear to be overtaken. We want to be at the top and at the top alone. We want to be super rich and be super rich alone. We want to succeed and succeed alone. We want our song to hit and only our song. In a work and study environment, people cannot share their knowledge in fear of being overtaken, forgetting the great wisdom of one James Heller, who says, a candle does not lose anything by lighting another. Brothers and sisters, as we sing the stanzas of song of personal success, we must not leave out the colors of generosity. Characteristic number two of jealousy is jealousy does not walk alone. Brothers and sisters, jealousy is an accompanied vice. It does not walk alone. It comes escorted by a troop of other vices. A good example is the story of Cain in Genesis. The jealousy in Cain, accompanied by jealous vices of hatred and murder. Jealousy, friends, comes with a role mission to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jealousy comes ready with this mission, and it must come with a troop that is whose mastery is exactly that, to kill, to destroy, and to steal. Jealousy, friends, comes to put off all lights and leave the victim grappling in darkness, fighting for dear life. Jealousy inspires one to walk away smiling and celebrating when you get in trouble, because that is exactly what they wish for you. This is a jealousy that makes your enemies to follow your story with obsessive interest, looking forward to your thunderous fall. Jealousy engineers a need for creativity, brothers and sisters. Criminals are dispatched to harm innocent people. Jealousy sponsors arson attacks, where buildings go up in flames mysteriously, like we hear about many times in the city. Jealousy plans kidnappings. Jealousy sponsors assassinations, both character and life assassinations. Jealousy, brothers and sisters, is an enemy of families. Jealousy sponsors home-breaking immoralities. People plan to break up thriving relationships. Step parents mistreat their other children thanks to jealousy. Jealousy, friends, inspires false accusations, where innocent people are fired and from their jobs, and fake charges are moved against just people. Jealousy, brothers and sisters, fights a fertile ground in the workplace. Promotions are suppressed. Letters of commendation and advancement are withheld. Salaries and privileges are tragically revised downward thanks to jealousy. Companies undercut each other in gangster fashion. Jealousy shapes a world full of unhealthy competition that makes the losers to react in very, very nasty ways. Brothers and sisters, the firstborn of jealousy is malice. Malice is a form of witchcraft, And no wonder jealousy engages witch doctors and priests of the other world to engineer downfalls. Brothers and sisters, each time we are driven by jealousy, we become agents of Satan. No matter how satisfying jealousy is, jealousy is not your friend. Jealousy is a suffocating weed in the garden of love. Friends, going back to the story of our Lord, we see a jealous people who kill him to eliminate him, but he agrees to die to redeem them. We see a jealous people who crucify Jesus out of hate, but the Lord accepts the crucifixion out of love. This clearly tells us, brothers and sisters, the happy side for jealousy, the happy side for the weed of jealousy is love. That love demonstrated through the cross event. And this is the center of the message of Easter. If you remove love from the Easter story, then you have no story at all. And this is the heart of my message this morning. The Lord loves you, and he is in need of you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.